I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This episode is brought to you by Paramount Plus. Get in, loser! Mean Girls is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Join Katie Heron as she meets the plastics and Tina Fey's new twist on the modern classic. Get ready for more of the rumors, backstabbing, and jokes you loved from the original movie with some fetch surprises. Rated PG-13. Wear pink and head to ParamountPlus.com to try it free.
Well, what's up, everybody? Hope you are having a good week so far. This week on the podcast is the one and only Jess Bays. I've known Jess for a long time through a lot of mutual friends, mostly through Sam Devine, and come across her a lot, seen her on planes, seen her in clubs, and over the last 12 months, she's really been like up in her production game and making really nice soulful house music. I wanted to get her on and talk about it. So without further ado, Jess Bays, what's cooking?
What is cooking, my friend? How are you?
I just saw your Zoom name and it's B-A-E-S and I was like, that is fucking jokes.
Oh, do you know what it is? It's Sam and Camilla. They call me Bays in like Bay because I'm their Bay. I'm their little child. So that's why it's like that.
It's so random, isn't it?
Luckily, it's not actually spelt that way in real life. Thank God.
I'm going to put that on the promo of this.
I know. Bays. Just Bays. How are you, mate? Good?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good. Just chilling. Well, just in the studio right now, obviously, talking
Aren't
to you.
Aren't we all?
But yeah, it's strange.
Where are you in the world? Are you UK or America?
Yeah, I'm in Somerset.
Somerset. Hey, Somerset, the little farmer.
Little farmer boy down here. Yeah, I've been here since March, mate. Literally just like...
Oh, wow.
Haven't left.
It's like, it's very, very frustrating at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, I was just literally talking to a mate beforehand and he lives in Texas, but he's English and he's moving back to the UK in March. Yeah. And we were just like... Each day is like a day where like every day changes. It's like being a DJ. It's like being a DJ and a producer. One day you're like the happiest person around and then the next day you're fucking the most depressed person ever. But it's just the whole world's like that now.
I think, yeah, but that's a good thing because it means that it makes me feel better. If I'm having a really shit day, then I'm just like, fine, just wallow. Just be sad because 100 million other people are also very sad with you. So it's absolutely fine for you to lay in bed and eat crisps and watch Netflix all day. You do you, honey.
I love that. Just you're fine.
It's like a year off, really.
You're fine being in pain because everyone else is suffering.
Yeah, legit. Like we're all in this together in this sense. So it's not just like me that's sad.
Nah.
The whole population.
Yeah, there's like literally nothing we can do. So...
No, and you know what? The feel I'm getting from like my team and my agent is that things are slowly starting to open in the sense of events and stuff, but it's all going to be at this like sort of social distance capacity, especially in the UK. I know New Zealand, Australia are sort of back full pelt with everything. Like, we've seen our good friend Josh Butler is going and having the best time ever playing real clubs, and it's like, I'm like, what? I forgot what that is.
Yeah, it's so strange though, because I think, I don't know about you, but everyone's like comparing the UK to New Zealand, and it's like, wait a minute, like New Zealand's the same land mass as the UK with 3 million people population. And
wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it's like, that's why it's doing well. Like, there's literally,
right, because there's no one there.
There's like two cities, and they're both on different islands.
Mate. Right, makes sense now. That's just basically like London.
Yeah.
The whole of London.
No, London's bigger.
Oh, mate.
Like, what's the population of London? I don't actually know this.
How do they even have any friends?
They don't. They just surf.
They must live from so far away from each other. They must live so far away.
Population of London.
Absolutely brilliant.
London, it has 8.9 million people.
Right, so there you go. So you've New got, Zealand is nearly you've got three times three more
New Zealand.
Wow.
And wow. And the landmass is the same size. I think, don't quote me on this, but I think it's the same size as the UK. Or bigger.
Madness. So, I've never actually gone over that far of the world yet. I'm quite worse when it comes to flying. So if there's ever any like Australia or New Zealand gigs that come in, I'm just like, oh, I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready to do it yet.
The flights, I was talking to Mark Reeve last week on the podcast about flying actually, and he like went through a period of like having panic attacks, but I think they were just like,
oh,
hangover.
Terrible.
I think they were just like hangover and come down panic attacks.
I mean, those are a whole different kind of panic attack on a flight. That's normally your Ibiza or pro hideout or whatever.
I've never done it. I've never been. Wow. Obviously, I haven't drank for years, but I've never flown hungover.
Right. I went and played Dubai once, and it was last year with my friend Josh Parkinson, and the club finished because it's like they're such big drinkers in Dubai, obviously, like because the public obviously can't get hold of drugs or anything out there, so it's like they drink so much,
and it's all English people anyway.
But because whole drugs culture isn't out there like it is the rest of the world, the people drink excessively, and I just unfortunately got roped into that, and my flight was at 8 o'clock and the club shut at 6, and I experienced my hangover / coming out of the most drunkest state of my life on the whole flight home. Like, it was I woke up, I remember waking up like in Heathrow, and I was like, where the hell am I? What have I just got home from a night out and I've just landed from Dubai? Like, what is happening? And ever since then, I'm like, I will never fly hungover ever again, because it was traumatic. I literally got on the flight as drunk as I left the club. Like, it was, oh no.
I always feel really smug when I get to the airport with a mate that's been drinking the night before, and I'm like fresh-faced.
You're that guy. Yeah, you're that guy.
It's when Instagram stories come out and everything. It's just great.
Are you completely sober? Like, you just don't drink?
Yeah, I just don't drink. I don't call myself sober because there's like a stigma with the word sober that like I was an addict beforehand.
Yeah, no, I get you. But yeah,
I just,
you're right.
Don't like drinking. You just don't or taking like it. Drugs. No, so
doesn't... it's not for everybody, is it? So yeah, fair play to you.
I think I get,
especially in this industry. Well done.
I think I get more done.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely get more done.
You're doing like 60 days sober there right now, aren't you?
I'm currently on a stint of 60 days sober, and I've never completed a dry January in my life. It's like, I don't know why. I feel like it's because there's nothing going on in January, so I just drown my sorrows at home because I want to be out. But it's been, do you know what? I think towards the end of last year, I got myself in such a dark headspace, and I was turning to alcohol a lot of the time because I was just, I didn't know when, like, my next paycheck was coming, my next show, all my creativity had just been drained out of me. And I know it was the same for a lot of people. So it was just, what else do you do when you're stuck at home and there's nothing else going on? And unfortunately, some people do turn to alcohol, which I did. I was drinking quite a lot most nights, and I'm not that person. Like, I'm not like you. I'll drink on occasion, but I don't like it that much. And it was becoming a little bit more of a demon. And I was like, oh no. So that's why GW Harrison's agent Joanna started up this 60-day project.
I didn't know. She's my kind of Joe from NGE.
Yeah, is she your agent too?
She's my agent, yeah.
I did not know that. I did not know that. Well, it's her project, so you will know all about that, obviously.
I didn't know. She didn't tell me.
Oh yeah, so it's a 60-day experiment where you sort of go sober, and there's all those online courses. We talk to people on it about their journeys as well, and it's just given me so much more clarity on life and just how last year really, really rocked me. Having my career taken away from me, it made me realise that how career driven I am, I think. To have it completely ripped out from underneath my feet, I was kind of like, I don't know what my purpose is on this planet if I can't be a DJ, because I love it so much. And I'm just in a really good headspace at the minute. So I'm ready to tackle this year now.
That's awesome.
Happy.
It's strange, isn't it? It is a strange thing how like one thing can change in your life and it can like literally fuck everything else up and you're like, ugh.
Do you know what? I know we're really lucky with our jobs anyway. Like, it's not really a job, is it? It's a dream what we're doing. We're getting paid to have a lovely time and do something we love. And I didn't really, not that I'd never appreciated it, but I realised how much I loved it when it was taken away.
Yeah.
I just realised all my friends are stuck around me being furloughed from horrible office jobs. Like, my girlfriend, for example, has been working from home for the majority of the year. Yeah. And she's so unhappy in her job. And it just made me look and count my blessings and be like, I am so fucking lucky to be able to do what I do every day.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's very easy to, or for me, it's very easy when you're touring and kind of traveling every day and do a gig, go to the hotel, airport, gig, and just keep going round and round. It's very easy to just get in that like Groundhog Day and be like, this is just what I do. And
yeah,
I very rarely moan about it. Like, I often get to the point where I'm like, an hour before going to the show, if it's like a late night, I'm like, I really can't be bothered. I just want to go to bed and watch some Netflix. But
yeah, mate, I feel you.
But at the end of the day, when you're there, it's the best fucking time. And
literally the best. As soon as you step into that club, it's like, vroom,
yeah,
game face
on it. Absolutely on it. But I guess that's part of the job. There's always going to be a job part of the job, right? And
course,
the job part.
I do feel like our job part is the traveling and the late nights and the no sleep. That is the hard parts of our job for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it though, isn't it?
So worth it. Oh my god, so worth it. But if you were to ask me when I've been in the air for 10 hours, I'd probably tell you no.
you should definitely try New Zealand and Australia. Like, I
want to so bad. Do you know what it is? The last flight I did was probably the last long haul flight I did was Brazil, and that's quite a lengthy one. That was 11 hours, and I was getting to a point where I was starting to get busier, and I was doing all these long haul flights on my own, and I was building up such a good, I was like, yeah, I'm really good at flying now. And now all of a sudden I haven't flown for 10 months. I feel like all of that hard work of building myself up, I now need to just maybe go to Manchester or something just to get myself used to being back in the seat. Because I'm like, if you were to fly me to America right now, I'd be like, no, I ain't going nowhere.
I fucking love flying.
No.
I love flying so much.
I wish, I'm so envious of people like you, because it's really amazing. I don't get how it stays up. It shouldn't. that's my opinion. It shouldn't stay up. And I feel like,
I'm going to find this YouTube. There's this YouTube thing, and I'm going to send it to you, and it shows you how planes work. And
please do.
It's like actually mind blowing that like your engines can like both your engines can stop working and you'll just glide and you're not going to just fall out of the air. You'll be absolutely fine.
But then what happens if you're just over the Pacific Ocean?
Oh, you're just,
and there's no land in sight. Then you're going to get eaten by sharks.
Let's just hope you can fucking swim.
You can't really wink, can you?
But my view on it, okay, is if I get in a plane crash, I know I'm going to die.
Yes, that's what I don't like about it. Once you're on that flight, you go out of control, that's it. Like, you just handed your life over to that pilot. Laters.
I'm all right about that, though. I'm like, I don't really, like, I'm like, fuck it. It's going to work for about 5 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah, I need to be up. I need to have this mindset. I will one day, once I've gone to Australia, maybe.
You have to.
Once I've got it out of the way.
New Zealand, though, Australia and New Zealand are beautiful, but New Zealand is just, like, insane. It's fucking amazing.
I need to go over this. I think seeing, like, Josh's post over the last few weeks, I'm just like, oh, my God, I need to go. Yeah. Although I am quite scared of the spiders out there also, because I know there's those
not in New Zealand
motherfuckers in Australia.
Yeah, Australia is another level.
But then on the flip side, I want to see the kangaroos down the street, so it's like... I can't have both. Best of both worlds, can I?
In the cities that you'll go to, I doubt you'll see kangaroos just down the street.
But I'll see a huntsman spider. That's not fair, is it? So not fair.
Those spiders are real. They're like fucking
Isn't it like you have to check under the toilet seats and stuff? Because maybe they're just under there. Oh, no, that's a whole lot of... No.
It's like you do... In the cities, you're kind of all right. When you're in the bush or the outback, it's like, yeah, game over. But none of us ever go there. So unless you're in like a, what do they call them? The Australians call like festivals in the bush, like bush. It's like bush tucker trials. They call it something like that. Wow. I've just destroyed it.
Absolutely amazing.
But fuck, what are they called? Bush tush.
Australia is like a whole other world to me. I hope I see it soon. I feel like I need to go out there, but it's a flight. If there was a way I could get a train there for 2 days, I would.
2 days, mate? It would take you about a week to get a train there.
You know what? I would do it. Happily. Spend a week of my life on a train.
So good. It's actually really random how many mutual friends and work people we have.
A hell of a lot.
Like, so first of all, we met through Sam, aka Sam Devine,
yes,
who I've known more than half my life now.
Legit. Both from the country.
She's a Somerset girl as well. But she's got...
You know what? Every time she goes back to see her parents and she comes back, I notice the twang is back and I'm like, what was that? What are you saying? And she turned into a farmer for like a couple of days after. And it's so funny.
Well, when I first knew Sam, she had a Somerset accent. And then...
Yeah, no, it is there. It's still there.
And then when she went to London... She turned into a proper Essex girl, and it's a fake
Everyone
Essex accent.
From Essex,
yeah, it's such a fake Essex accent.
She's gonna kill me when she watches this.
She's like it's like her accent's like Fusagi. It's just like it's just so not.
It's so funny, bless her.
Oh, I love her.
She's trying to move to Essex at the moment. She wants to relocate, but her obviously. Hatcher, her husband, he's so like London ghetto road man, and he just is not having any of it because he's from Croydon, like proper south, and he's just like, you are not putting me in Essex with all these pretty boys. It's like, no, I'm not doing it, mate.
Oh, I love that. So we know Sam, and then your manager is Sonny Wharton.
He sure is my little hero.
And like Sonny was like who I started with in this industry pretty much.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he like... So Wartone Records.
Yeah.
His record label. Does he still run it?
He does, yeah.
That was like one of the first record labels that I signed before signing to Dirty Bird.
Oh my God, that's so cool. So he's such a little G. I just love him so much.
I love him. He's great. And yeah, I've known him for years.
Yeah, he's an OG, man. He's been around the block. And I feel like he's changed my whole career in the space of about 8 months. And he's like the nicest guy ever. I'm so pleased to be working with him.
He works so hard. He's like one of those people that...
so hard.
Yeah, that I've... ever since I've known him, he's just worked really hard on whatever he's doing. And he's just, I'm glad he kind of found management because it was kind of like perfect for him.
Oh my God. He's made to be a manager, literally made to be a manager. He keeps me in line and he gets the vision and we clicked from day one. I mean, before I signed with him, there was a few different management people on the table and nothing felt right in my belly when I met them. And then I sat down in front of Sonny. I was just like, 100% yes, like, I'm going to sign with you. And I knew that before we even really opened the conversation. I knew that this was going to be the one.
Yeah.
And things have just gone from strength to strength since then. He's just motivated me on a whole new level because he's so passionate about what he does. We're very similar on that way because I think we're both overly nice and we like to be nice people. So we work so well together.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's just the best.
So, and also Sonny manages Gene, right?
He does. Gene and Janssen's as well.
Yeah. Gene Farris. And obviously Gene's like a homie from America. You've got a cool crew. Janssen's makes some sick music as well.
Yeah. I'm super lucky to be in the little crew. I'm very, very happy.
Yeah. You're in a good bunch. Who's your agent over here?
So my agent is Andy Rayside. So I'm signed to the Defected agency. So I've got two very cool little crews. I feel, I'm super appreciative for the position I'm in.
That's cool. Gotta love Defected.
Mm. So I feel like I've got a little bit of Dirty Bird America over this side, and then I've got Housey Defected this way if I need it. So it's amazing.
So obviously I've known you for a long time, but I've like really noticed in the last, to be fair, it's actually been in the last 12 months that you've like really been on the radar. Like what's happened?
It's since March. Do you know what, believe it or not, it's lockdown.
Yeah.
Lockdown has just made me grind. And obviously because I had nothing to do, it was at the start of lockdown. I signed with Sonny in February and then March we went to lockdown. So it was like, we had to really get our heads together and throw me into production because I was only just starting to learn then. And it was Sonny that drove me into really start learning more things and just pairing me up with co-producers and stuff. And it was just, I was learning so much over the last 6 months. And now I'm really confident in myself in the records that I'm putting out. And I know the end goal now. I know where I want to be. And it just happened so quick. And it really was just down to great management, I think. We knew the end goal with me. And now I'm really starting to sort of pave my own way, if you would say. Like before that, I was very much with Sam, and it was getting to a point where a lot of people were kind of just putting me as if I was going to sort of become the next Sam, and that was never the goal I wanted. Like, she's incredible in her own. I always wanted us to be separate people.
So now
I finally am that. I am my own artist now, and that I'm just so happy that that's happened.
It's amazing that, isn't it? Because it's so true. Like, I had that with Dirty Bird, really. I kind of had to, like, step away for people to kind of understand who you are as an artist rather than just associated to a brand or a person or anything like
that. Exactly that. That was one of the main goals I wanted when I started out with Sonny, was that I decided that I didn't want to be associated with a brand. I wanted to be the brand.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're really starting to achieve that now, especially now the music's there as well. Because before last year, I wasn't producing. I was very much like, I love DJing so much. I don't have a passion for making music. But it wasn't until I really started to believe in myself that I can actually make amazing stuff that I fell in love with it. Now I'm obsessed with it. Now I'm just like, I don't want to DJ now. I'm going to be a music producer forever.
Mate, it looks like you're not going to be DJing for a long time, so get used to producing music.
Legit. I've got at least another 2 years in the studio, mate.
Oh, 2 years. Fuck my life. Yeah, I was like, I've just got back in the studio this week. Or no, last week. And all my music's written for this year. So I'm like,
pretty much.
What the fuck do I do? And now I'm just, I'm literally writing collabs. I'm collabing with everyone and just amazing. Like, just seeing what to do. Cause yeah, I don't have any music to make for this year.
All right. Well, let's jump on something then, because I'm in the same boat. I'm right just beats. Like, what do I do? The thing is, like, I've made so much now that, like, this track that came out, Love We Had, that just came out this last week, is everybody is in so in love with it because they've been waiting so long for it to come out. But for me, this record is a year old. Mm. So I'm just like, I want you to hear my new stuff. Like, yeah. My new stuff is, like, in my opinion, so much better. But it's, I think, as I'm learning now as a producer, it's not often the track that you think is going to connect that connects. And it's always the one that you didn't rate as much that does well.
It's weird that, isn't it?
The Love We Had is the only track that I've ever used a sample on.
Yeah.
Or everything else is original vocals. Yeah. And it's the only one that's gone to number one.
It's always the way. It's like...
Yeah, literally. I thought it was going to be something that I was pouring my heart into, but it was just a sample of Splice that did it.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, the John... Summit record was a Splice sample.
Thin Line. Oh my god, I love it.
No,
so much.
Not Thin Line.
Not Thin Line? No, isn't that Loretta Holloway? I think that one is.
What's the other one? What was his big
Which
one?
Which John this Summit summer? One?
The big one this summer.
I thought it was that one. Oh, is it the one with Lee Foss?
No, you could be right. Deep End.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I've been trying not to go off the deep. That one.
Yeah.
Was that a Splice sample?
Yeah.
Go on, John.
Yeah, I know. Fuck. You, do you know my record, You Take Me Higher?
Yes, that's Splice.
Yep.
Oh, I love it so much. It bangs, mate. It absolutely bangs.
I can't wait. I cannot wait to release music this year. Like, I'm fucking excited.
What have you got coming up?
So much. I've got a release I'm doing one every 8 weeks, and then 8 weeks on my label, every 8 weeks on my label, and then in between those 8 weeks I'm releasing on other labels as well. So I'm releasing like pretty much one a month.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
That's good though.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm just like, I thought, considering I don't do live streams, and I'm not really down to do live streams. It's not really for me. So
they're not for everyone. I understand that. I get you on that one. It got to a point where they were just too much, and it just, do you know what it is? You're not concentrating on playing to the people. You're concentrating on the number of people that are locked in, and it makes you feel like if you don't have a bigger number in your head, you think I'm shit, and it's like, that's not what you're there for. So it's just adjusting to that whole new concept of life at the moment.
And like, the it's just the numbers thing. It's just like, you see all these people with like 20, 30,000 people watching it at one time, and then you're like, are they actually watching? They're
exactly.
Like, they're fucking doing their washing up. They're not watching.
They literally got you on and they're pottering around, mate.
Yeah, exactly. Their grand's talking to them on the phone, and it's like,
literally, man, it's just a number, isn't it, really?
But
on the flip side, there have been brands like Defected that have gone over and beyond and taken you into Printworks and Fireworks and like done some pretty epic things, and Hot Since 82's done a fucking hot air balloon, which is insane. Like, on the flip side, they can get super creative, which is something something that I did get involved in doing this year. I did it on top of a multi-story car park, mid-set, shut down by the police, but still continuing to play. I did it in League Street in London. Same thing happened there. The police turned up and said no. And I was just, if you look at my face towards the last 15 minutes of these, I'm just kind of like, let me just finish my mix.
I didn't know that. So why did they come and shut you down?
Because they're actually public property where we were doing them. So I literally just turned up with a generator and a little, one of them little controllers. Just started playing a set and filming it. And it's like, you're essentially in the street.
Yeah.
So yeah, that I have to probably put on ice for a minute because I can't get nicked.
I like that. Fair play. That's like dedication.
I really wanted to do Leicester Square in London. My manager Sonny was like, "Don't you dare! The second you start setting something up in Leicester Square, you are getting nicked.
Yeah, not even game over.
You are. Yeah. I think I'm doing something really dangerous.
What's that dude's name? That's like been go
Suat.
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 Fucking legend.
Talking about before you even say it, Suat. He's got like 50,000 followers now on Instagram just from lockdown of going around. Did you see? He's on a rope swing and all sorts. His back is going to be absolutely fucked.
Or absolutely shredded. He's going to like take his top off and he's like fucking ironing board.
He's talking about, he's always like, "Oh, my hernia, my hernia." Like, you're going to damage yourself so bad, man.
I think he's like one of the only ones that has actually smashed the live stream on a weekly basis.
Mate, the best one I've seen him done is he snuck into Madame Tussauds.
Yeah, I saw that.
Have
one.
You seen this?
I saw
how
that.
Did how the hell he got that set up in Madame Tussauds? I do not understand, because surely they would have searched that bag.
I think it was planned. I don't think any of those ones he could sneak in, because he, like, the security around him, they don't.
They're escorting him out the building.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they escorted him out. They're like, "He's turned off. Get out, get out." Like, so I don't know. Maybe it was set up in advance, but it didn't look like it at the end, mate.
I didn't watch the end. That's so good. Like, he's,
oh god, he's about smashed to be taken it out in a handcuff.
He's like, I really like it when people do something completely different and take it to another level and are successful from it. And he just got
so creative with it and absolutely nailed it.
He's a proper character as well.
He's like, hilarious, mate. He's absolutely, if you actually go and watch his videos from before he started, because I had a look when he started really popping off, I went back through his old content, and he does things like he gets a microphone, goes live and gets in a bath and just eats different foods really loud into the microphone so people can hear him eating it, and they've got to guess what food it is. Like, so he's clearly proper out there as a person in general.
Chicken Oriental, that's what he is.
Mate, like, proper Chicken Oriental.
I wish I was that type of person, but I just,
no, I'm not,
I can't do it.
I haven't got it in me to be that. I want to say confident, because it is. It takes some serious confidence to be like that, and I just ain't got it in me. I feel like people would be like, "Get back in your box.
What the fuck is this twat doing?" Just like, yeah, I don't know. But yeah, that's so, like, live streams, I'm just like, meh. So I was just like, fuck it, let's just, I release a lot of music anyway, and I was like, this year I just have to release so much music and just see.
I do. One of the worrying things for me was that I didn't want to put music out and then it not ever see clubs, because obviously we didn't know how long we were going to wait, and then the music was going to. So yeah. There's been a real shift in the sound that's been put out this year. I feel like everybody has gone back to deep, and that's quite luckily where my sound is. So I feel like that might be also another reason as to why I've had the success over the last few months, because that was my sound anyway, and that's what people want to stream at home. It's like feel good deep house.
Well, I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, I was listening to your record earlier, and it's very soulful. It's really interesting, because it actually reminds me of what I used to play when I was like first met Sam, and like, yeah, those are the types of records I used to buy off Sam, and it was like brought back some really good memories, because I was just like, this, although this isn't the music that I play now, and but I like to listen to it. But it just brings back like such amazing memories of just like super soulful house music.
That's the exactly vibe I want to put out. It's like that sort of nostalgic feel of, because that's when I started to really fall in love with house music, when was around 2012, when deep house was, it was like Benediction and all of that, like Let's Jack, like those kinds of records were the ones that were really popping. And I feel like lockdown and people staying at home and not wanting to hear sort of the, not so much hard stuff, because you're not in clubs and, you, and it doesn't feel, it doesn't hit the same, does it, unless it's off a massive cannon of speakers. So I feel like that's helped the resurge of deep house over the last year.
I think I think you're right, because what we rely with like techno is that they're in a club, they Shazam a record, they then go and listen to it, or they take a video of the club, they put it up on Instagram. That does really well on Instagram. Everyone's like, what's this record? What's this record? Yeah. And that's how it does well. And Spotify and Apple Music, as much as they try to push, and Deezer and all the other ones, as much as they try to push dance music, people just don't want to listen to fucking techno whilst they're eating their breakfast.
It's true. It's unfortunately, it's true.
Like, don't.
It is true.
So I can't expect anyone else to.
I also feel like the techno artist as well, that might be why yourself doesn't like respond to live streams as much, because techno is very much like you need the crowd, and it's not so much just the music that makes a techno vibe, it's everything else added into it. It's one big element, and I think that might be why, because I haven't really seen many techno live streams, to be honest. It's all been like vocally house and stuff. Literally, it's just like you need to be in there with all the production and the loudness and It isn't something that works over a Bluetooth speaker.
No, it's really not. It's interesting though about the whole how people have changed their production. Is like I noticed myself doing it and like more and more, and then I was like, no, well, this is you have to kind of like I was going to radio and was like trying to get that, trying to write a record that's going to do well on radio. And I did it.
Do you know what? Before that, sorry, carry on.
Go for it.
Before lockdown happened, I was so fixated with wanting to write a radio record, and I just didn't know how to. But then naturally, I've done it.
Yeah.
Through the switch in the sound, it was just, I don't know. I feel like maybe if lockdown hadn't happened, I don't know where I would have been now, because I would definitely wouldn't have had the time to sort of sit and find that sound that I've made. So I think lockdown has been brilliant in terms of creativity for people and maybe pushing themselves outside of what they would usually make.
What is it about wanting to make a radio record for you? Is it like why?
I feel like as a kid I was always listening to radio, so I've got that connection to radio there anyway. I love everything about it, and I think radio hosts are so talented in what they do, because for me, getting behind the mic isn't one of the easiest things to do. Even though I might sound and look really confident, inside I'm actually dying. It is tough doing radio stuff, because essentially you're talking to yourself and it's quite tough. So I think just to be able to be played on radio, and it's mainstream, isn't it? It's not just like you're segregated into the underground culture of dance music. The whole world listens to the radio, even my nan. So it's like to be able to get a record that and cross over to the dance floor as well as the mainstream. I feel like it's like the biggest achievement ever, because it means like, not that it's like there's like recognition for it, but that's not the right word, but it's like it means that you've made something that can touch all of those people, not just one genre. Like Camel Fat did Cola, for example. Like that to me is like one of the biggest records of all time, in my opinion, because it absolutely destroys the dance floor, but then on the radio has a total different effect. And I just think it's so clever to be able to do that.
Cola is an insane record, and as much as I'm pretty sure they have a love-hate relationship with that record, because I know they don't play it anymore and they get fed up with people asking them to play it, but it's also an insane record, and it's put them to where they are now, really.
Exactly. So it's kind of like they need to sort of have to play it sometimes for the fans, because it is essentially how the fans got there. So it's like a catch-22 for them, I feel.
Yeah, I honestly think a lot of artists get that. Like,
yeah,
for me,
definitely. Like, Route 94, my love. You would never even play that in DC 10.
Yeah, exactly. I've never had like a hit record, but my biggest record when I first started was Booty Percolating. I never play that. Like, ever.
You know, ever. Wow.
Like, I might play it as a last record if I've done like an open to close.
Yeah.
And I feel like I kind of have to.
Yeah, but I get you.
I try not to.
I remember getting Cola on promo and I listened to it first and I was like, what is this? I do not like this record. And now here I am sat eating my words saying it's one of the greatest records of all time. Like, I just remember Coca-Cola, what is this about? And now I'm like, boom, 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 boom. Like, it doesn't leave my head ever.
Yeah, that's a fucking great. Dennis Ferreira, hey. I put those two in the same. Oh,
so good. So good. I think Dennis Ferreira is just, he's in his own lane, that man. Like, no one, he's untouchable when it comes to DJing and production.
It's interesting watching him DJ because I don't think he plays his own records.
Not a lot, no. And do you know what? Once in Croatia a few years ago for Defected Croatia, Sam actually had to tell him to play his records because it was like the crowd, because it was like a festival day party. She read the crowd and it was like, she could see that is what they were waiting for. Yeah. And she went into the booth and said, just fucking play Mind Your Step, like just drop it. And he was just like, oh, like, do you think they want it? And literally as soon as that you start hearing those records coming in, Curing the Cause, it's like, it just raises the vibrations to a whole new level.
Yeah, it's really weird. I have this conversation a lot and it's about DJs, producers playing their own records. Like, most of my sets are like my records now, but
yeah, that's an amazing place to be able to do that. That's insane.
Yeah, I love it. But also there comes a point when there's records that you don't want to play that everyone else wants to hear.
Yeah, I get you.
But then if you went to see the Rolling Stones and they didn't play Satisfaction, you're going to be pissed.
Yeah, you're going to be fuming, mate. If I saw MK and he didn't play Look Right Through, I'm like, I want my money back.
That record, because I used to tour with Mark a lot. I've heard all of his records so much. I'm like, bruv, come on, man. I love him to bits.
Like, Mark is like my absolute guilty pleasure.
You don't need him as a guilty pleasure. He is... there's no such thing as guilty pleasure. His music is fucking amazing.
He's phenomenal. Like, he's just phenomenal.
I changed my production because of MK. Like,
he's such a G.
Because of touring with him, I changed how I wrote music. Like,
serious?
Yeah, 100%. Like, when I used to tour a lot with him, like, seeing him play his first record and every single person singing back to him.
Literally.
I was like, goosebumps. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it now.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, and I'm like, that's the only reason, like, my first experience, like, seeing, like, dance music was, like, Faithless.
So it is at that level.
Yeah, when I was, like, 11 years old in Cardiff. No, Newport Leisure Centre. And I was with my dad and like that it just reminds me of that. And
yeah.
Like, I want people to sing my music back to me. That's all I want. I don't care about anything else now. Like, my main thing is for me to be able to, it's massive ego. It's fucking mass. It's terrible.
It's like recognition, isn't it? You need that thing from people, but I get it totally because that's what I predominantly do. Like, I love songwriting, and it's to have the people singing it back. It means they've connected with it and they understand what you wanted to put into that record. So it's, I get it. I totally get it because I'm the same.
Yeah, it's like, I love it.
But it's weird. It's never not weird when they do it. I'm like, what?
Yeah, because a lot of my records were always like samples.
And
like, they're just like short words or like, and I'm like, you can't really sing along to that. You need a fucking proper song.
Well, trust me, I scream "You Take Me Higher" every time I play it because I know it's so loud, no one can ever hear it. So I can go as loud as I want.
Yeah, but it's not really the same, is it? It's still like a sample. Like,
love it though. You take me higher. So, such a big track, man.
What have you got coming out this year then?
So I'm launching a record label. I'm not too sure when it's launching yet. We're just still trying to, because I've got so many releases backed up now that I need to get out. It's just about launch it with the right time, because I want to launch it with one of my own tracks.
Yeah.
And the first few releases are going to be from myself before I start bringing in the team members as such. So we're just, I think it's going to be either March to May, not too sure. Nothing's cool. decided yet, but it's going to be called Superstore Records. Dang. And the meaning behind that is because when you go to a superstore, there's sort of a wide range of anything you want. So that's kind of what I wanted to do with the label and the party as such. So it is predominantly house music, but if it crosses genres, then it does. Yeah. And I'm going to sign music that I love and that I think will connect with people. And I'm just so excited about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's going to launch. I've got quite a few singles with the most talented songwriters in the whole world. Like, I'm working with Lily McKenzie, a guy called Jack Hewitt, Jennifer Jameson. There's a couple of others now that I am in talks with that are a lot on the bigger, high-profile scale of stuff that I never, ever thought I would ever be able to even reach those levels of working with them so soon, especially. And yeah. I'm just so gassed to get stuck into this year. I've never been so excited in my whole life.
Love that. Love that.
Yeah.
It's amazing to hear. Superstore Records is a fucking dope name as well.
I love it. I'm just about to launch a weekly live stream as well. So we've got a big green screen, and it's going to be called the Virtual Superstore. So we've set up a desk where we're going to get an old Casio cash register in front of the deck. So it looks like that's I'm playing sick. At a till.
Yeah.
We've got like lollipop stands and stuff, and I've got a green screen with a virtual shop behind me. And I'm going to be running that 8 till late every Thursday. So there's so much you can do with that, concept.
It's
and
cool.
I'm just so gassed to get stuck in. And eventually I'm going to want to do a live stream in a shop, take over like a Tesco's or something like massive scale like that, and do like a warehouse rave or something in there when we're back to that capacity. That's like the end goal for me.
That'd be dope.
That'd so dope, mate.
I really
shopping
like
down the aisles whilst you're raving. Yeah. What is better than that, mate?
What's the artwork going to be like?
I'm not too sure yet. There's a couple of different concepts we've got, but I don't know if you saw my artwork. I can't show you because I'm on my phone here, but it's my artwork that I did for my last party. It's very sort of like Grand Theft Auto style.
What was
it
called?
That sort of cartoon. It's called, I did a party just at NT's Loft, but the artwork is, it looks like Grand Theft Auto.
Okay.
And it's like a bit cartoony, but it kind of looks like The Simpsons as well. That sort of cartoony brand. And you can do so much of it when it comes to visuals. And it's just, I'm having so much fun.
You could do like a paper bag series.
It's amazing.
Or like, or plastic bag series, or like,
legit. One thing I do have to be super conscious is Jax Jones also has his branding called Snacks.
Yeah.
And every release he puts out is like a household item or a piece of food. So I have to be very careful in what I'm doing, that I don't go too close to what he's doing, because I love Jax. I love Jax.
Jax
all his branding is amazing.
I have to be
very mindful.
I don't quote me on this, but I think they might be stopping the snack side of it.
Oh, I love it so much.
Because I know he's doing some different stuff, but I could be wrong. You could do some sick stuff.
I know. I'm going to also set up like a little radio podcast that we've made the intro to it. And it's like, you know, when the cash point person will dial in and they go, do, 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 do. That's like, we've got all that to open it up. Like there's, and we've got like voiceovers that say that, there is a VIP now entering the shop, and it'll be like, then I'll have a guest on to interview. And it's like, there's so much stuff you can do with it. It's just so brilliant.
Yeah, that's amazing. Have you got your logo and stuff sorted?
There's a couple of different concepts, but I'm not too sure if I want to go with really fun or like 3D vibe. So I'm playing with a lot of ideas at the minute, but I guess I'll know when I see it, I'll know it in my heart which one is the right one.
It's just rip off Tesco's.
Basically. At the moment, I have a superstore, like just literally Superstore Records, and it's like, it looks like one of them neon light up signs that you would get like as an open sign. I've got that in the minute, and I think I'm just going to build from that. I don't want it to be too in your face. I'll just, maybe less is more in this one.
You could
see the artwork for the virtual stories.
Yeah, send over. You could do the like neon American like off license vibe.
This is exactly what the visuals are like.
Oh, that's
that's perfect. Yeah, it's so sick.
I love that. Sick.
Neon, I'm very, very proud.
Neons are just the best.
I love it so, and I can't wait to actually get one of them now at my house. They're so expensive to buy. They're like a grand to get one made.
Let me send you a link to a LED company. They're like,
yes, please.
They're like an LED. They make them out of LEDs, and they look just like neons, but they're
perfect.
They last forever. Perfect. Then.
Perfect, mate.
Someone bought me one when I used to do the Doing It For The Cuddle stuff, and it was like the Cuddle Club. And
oh my god, I love that so much. So I've actually still got one of your stickers on my laptop, Doing It For The Cuddles.
Oh, that brand can fuck off. I can't stand it. But yeah, mate, we've just done 45 minutes, and I know you got to crack on.
Lots of love. Thank you for having me. It's been lovely chatting.
You too.
Can't wait to actually see you in person and feel that beard.
It's going to get big. It's getting bigger, I think.
It's going to be right down by your feet. And you're only little as well, aren't you?
In it? Little dwarf over here. Before we go, how can people follow you and all of that?
At Jess Bays DJ across the board. And also while you're there, follow at Superstore Records for all things deep and lovely.
Go check it out, people. Jess Bays. B-A-E-S. See you soon.
Peace out.
Love you, mate. Bye.
Bye, dude.
And that is a wrap. Absolutely loved it. Really good chat. Really quick chat as well. It was nice to just like in and out and just have a proper good conversation with her. Go follow her, Jess Bays DJ, everywhere. She's great. And let me know if you like her music. It's really soulful and I dig it. Anyway, thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Share it with all your friends. I'd absolutely love you if you could give us a little rating and you could subscribe. It just keeps the podcast going. Huge love. See you soon. Keep safe.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to Quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.